Well, again, good evening. Welcome to Antioch Community Church. My name is Travis Phillips. I'm the lead pastor here, and we're excited to be here together. Isn't that good? I was just stirred by that last song, that His love truly is relentless, that it is a relentless love. And so no matter how you feel, how you have felt, if you have felt alone, if you felt a loneliness even in the pit of your stomach, or if you felt despair or depression in those kind of ways, you can know right now in this moment that you are not alone, but that there is a God who is relentlessly pursuing you. He does not give up on you. He doesn't back down. He is also not going to force you. He doesn't put you in a stranglehold or anything like that, but He pursues you, the Bible says, with His loving kindness. And so He will never fail to show you that kind of mercy, that kind of kindness, and that kind of love. And so we have a God that we can run to, and we need to know that. And not only do we have a God that we can run to, but He gives us a family to walk in. That he is a father to the fatherless, and He also sets the lonely into families. Mother Teresa said that loneliness is the greatest poverty. Loneliness, above everything else, is the greatest poverty that a human being can face. And so God knows that, and He puts us into families. And so when we say that we desire this place to be like a family, it's not just a trendy saying, or like a football team would say, or anything else, because that can kind of be the cool thing to say, we're like family. But it's God spoken that we're to be the church, the family of God. And so that's what we desire, that in this place you would be known, that you would know others, and that you would never feel lonely, because the Spirit of God is among us, and because you have people that want to walk alongside you, to love you and to serve you. So know that you are being pursued tonight by God, that He is not distant, but that He is near. And so that's good news. That's exciting. That's good to know. That should take away any of that loneliness or that any despair that you feel, just the peace of God coming in that and knowing that and experiencing that. Because it's not only a knowledge in our head, but it's an experience that God wants us to have with Him. And so we hope that you have that here, and that you experience family here in this place. So we are concluding a series that we've been going through throughout the semester, and it's called A People for His Glory. So if you've been with us throughout the semester, we have been in the book of Acts the entire time. So if you are a new, maybe an incoming freshman or something this year, and you started at the beginning of the year, you've not known anything but the book of Acts. So I'm sure you did before that, but as far as this church goes, that's all you've known. And so we are concluding that tonight. We actually, in some ways, concluded it going through the book last week, and this week we are just gonna wrap it all up. And I want to tie up some themes and some things that we really feel like God was speaking to us as a church. And then we're going to end the second half of what is typically the message with a time of giving testimonies. And so that's not something we've done here in the way that we're going to do it tonight. But I really believe, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this, that God is moving in our midst, that He is moving in this valley, that there is revival that He has been speaking, and that is upon us. And so in prayer, just say, okay, God, we believe that. We've been speaking on it. We've been seeing You move in the book of Acts, and God's been speaking to us how He's wanting to do some of the same things here in our day. And so I think the best way, as I was praying through it, I feel like God said, well, the best way to begin to sense that revival is here is to hear from people that are being revived in God. And so I wanted to give you a heads up, because at the towards the end of the message, we're going to have a time for any of you to come up here and share what God is doing in you, to share how you've been coming alive in God. Because when we talk about this word revival, it really is a people of God becoming alive in Him, and really experiencing His presence like never before, and wanting to follow after Him like never before, and experiencing a calling on their life like never before. So I'm going to sum some things up, but that's just for you to begin, if you know, feeling a little nervous or getting your palms sweaty if you think that maybe that's supposed to be you. So we started out in Acts 1. In Acts 1, we have Jesus with all of his followers. And in Acts 1, Jesus gives his followers this mission. And this mission is, first of all, to just wait for the promised Holy Spirit. And that the God is going to send his Holy Spirit to empower each of these followers to fulfill this mission. And the mission was to be witnesses of the good news of Jesus in all of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So these followers of Jesus were to take his message into the entire earth and to be witnesses of it, to tell about who Jesus is and what he's done. And Jesus tells them, but don't do anything until you receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is going to empower you to do this seemingly impossible task. And so Jesus says, if you're in with this, if you're up for this, then you need to go and pray, and the Father's going to send you the Holy Spirit. And so we see in Acts chapter 2 that there were 120 people that took Jesus up on this mission. Only 120, after all the miracles, after the life that Jesus lived, there were 120 at the end of the day that we see gathered in a room praying and believing for this mission to actually take place. And when these 120 people are gathered in Acts 2, we have Pentecost. And Pentecost is the event that refers to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that God gave his Spirit to empower his followers to be his witnesses. Okay, so God gave his Spirit to his followers to empower them to be his witnesses. And so that we wouldn't mess it up, so that we wouldn't be alone, but that we would have God's power to back us up to see this mission actually accomplished. And so we go from 120 to, in one day, going to an extra 3,000 people added to their number. Because the Holy Spirit came, and the followers of Jesus begin to declare boldly the message of Jesus, like they never had before. And people begin to realize through signs and through the evidence of God among them that this was real. And so it says 3,000 people in one day begin to follow Jesus and wanted to give their hearts and their lives to this man. They believe this message to be real. And so at the very end of Acts 2, we see God establishing the church. See, the church was established to steward this move of God. In Acts, we see this great move of God, this great wave of people that want to follow Jesus with all of their heart, soul, strength, and mind. And so God, in the midst of that, establishes the church to facilitate or to steward the move of God. And we see at the end of Acts 2 in verses 42 through 47 that these people begin to gather together and devote themselves to the apostles' teachings. And so they would come and they would hear what these apostles were teaching. And I believe it's not only the things that they were speaking about, but it's the way that they were living their lives, the way that they were demonstrating the power of God and the supernatural, the way that they lived with character. And I believe that because that's how they learned from Jesus. Jesus didn't just simply sit around and teach them from the Old Testament. He said, walk with me. See how I live. See what I do. Also, I will teach you from the scriptures and teach you about how I'm the fulfillment of all of the scriptures. And so this early church began devoting themselves to being disciples. Not just saying, oh yeah, I'll be in this religion, because it really wasn't even a religion. It was just a few people saying, I want to follow this man. And I want to be like him. And so they began being disciples, being mentored by these apostles and by what it looks like to follow after Jesus. It also says that they devoted themselves to each other, to community. They were all about serving one another, building one another up. If someone was in need, they would give to them. And they spent time together and they developed this family. And that family, that community, really was what, in a lot of ways, set them apart from others around them, from others in the city and others in the communities around them, was what the family-like atmosphere that was established among them. They also devoted themselves to prayer. They were a people of prayer that sought God and that sought his face, that believed that he was near, and they would speak to him and they would hear his voice. And lastly, they devoted themselves to communion, it says. Communion, where they would follow the teaching of Jesus, where Jesus said, like he did at the Last Supper, they drank wine and they ate bread, and Jesus said, this is my blood and this is my body. You need to remember who I am and what I'm doing for you. my blood that was poured out at the cross, my body that was beaten for you so that you could live. And he said, continue to do this in remembrance of me. And so the church began to do that. And I believe what they were doing in taking this communion was not only just being obedient to what Jesus had said, not only just remembering, which both things are important, but what they were really doing was identifying with Jesus. They were identifying with him, that I believe this man, that I believe that his blood was poured out for me, that I believe that his body was beaten and broken so that I could be whole, so that I could live, that he was sacrificed on my behalf, and I identify with Jesus, with this man. And so that is the church, and that's who we want to be, a church that is devoted to being like Jesus, to following him with authenticity, not because of religious action or rules or regulations, but because we authentically love Jesus because he has done so much for us. And so we are devoted to being disciples of Jesus. We want to be authentic in our community, in a family-like environment. That's why we do life groups throughout the week. We come together to celebrate on Sundays, but really in middle of the weeks when we meet in homes and apartments and dorms for life group is when community and life really happens. And so we want to be a people that also are identified with Jesus, that we identify with him. And everywhere that we go, that we are set apart, not because of something great that we've done, but because we are identified with Jesus. And we want to be a people of prayer that seek God and that rely on him and rely on his presence. And so that was a big characteristic at the beginning of our study in the book of Acts, that there was this mission that was given. And then there was the Holy Spirit that was given to empower the people of God to accomplish the mission. And then the church was given to facilitate and to facilitate this mission of God and to facilitate this move of God. And so from Acts 3 through 11, we then see people in great numbers coming to follow Jesus. It goes from people being added to the church to people being multiplied to the church. That it was too much to even just count, and there were a few people added, but there was now a multiplicative effect of people following Jesus and coming into the church. It then goes from people being multiplied into the church to then churches being added, and then churches being multiplied. So there is a great move of God happening in the book of Acts. Then in Acts 11, we see another transition, because up to Acts 11, it was basically a Jewish sect. It was a section of the Jewish people that began to follow Jesus. But then at the church in Antioch, in Acts 11, we see that there was a group of people that began to share with Greeks as well, non-Jewish people. And there was something new that God was doing. And it says the hand of God was upon them. And then from that church at Antioch, we see a new wave of disciples, a new wave of churches being established in the non-Jewish world. All throughout Asia, there are churches popping up and multiplying. Till last week, we read a passage that says that there, because Paul, who was the main advocate of this move among the Greeks, was in Athens for a couple of years, which was a great port city. And it says after a couple of years of him being there, that all of Asia had heard the message of the gospel. So there was a great move of God. Paul comes back to Jerusalem, and he is telling about all the glorious things that God is doing and the ways the Holy Spirit is moving in power, the ways that churches are multiplying across Asia. And so he's reporting these things to the leaders of the church in Jerusalem. And they report back to him and with just giving glory to God and saying, there are myriads that are following Jesus here in Jerusalem and in the surrounding areas. And myriads was their highest number. It was the highest value that they had for a number. It represented 10,000 people. And so there was an astonishing move of God. There was a spiritual awakening. There were people coming alive to God. And that's exciting. And that is the birth of the early church. But the reason that we felt like God was speaking for us as a church to go through the book of Acts was because we felt like there was something significant in our day that he was wanting to do. And this is the normal Christian life. As far as we know it in scriptures, this is the recording of what the church is to look like. And this is not unprecedented for moves of God that we've seen in our day. One of the latest moves of God has been in the underground church in China, where there are hundreds of thousands of people coming to know the Lord, worshiping God, and spread out, doing it undercover, doing it in homes, and great numbers of people coming alive to God, realizing freedom in Christ. And it's something that I really believe that God wants to do here in this place today. And that's not relegated to something that we feel in this church, but as we've been here, we feel like, and I've met with other pastors and people in this valley, people that have been here for years, I believe that God is speaking some of the same things, that he is moving in this place, that he is bringing revival. He is reviving his people to see a great move of God in our day. I want to share a couple of things that he's spoken to us as a church that many of you have heard, but I just want to keep it before us of why we're believing for that today. This church was established about a little less than a year and a half ago, and it was established here because of the very reason that I was just speaking of. We believe that God was speaking of this place, that there is fertile soil here. Fertile soil being that when seeds are planted, things will grow, life will come, the desert will flourish and bloom. And so that is what God has spoken over this land. That when it will be watered with the good news of Jesus, when it will be watered by the Holy Spirit, that things will grow here. Life will happen in this place. And so that is why we're here. And we feel like I could stand up here and share testimony after testimony of how that has been true. Instead, I'm going to let you do that here in a little bit. But that's one of the things. And the founder of Tempe was a guy named Charles Hayden. He climbed what's now known as A Mountain and was looking over at present-day Tempe, what was then just desert. And he was quoted as saying, "This is fertile soil if only man could get water to it." And fertile soil was something God had been speaking to us about this place for a while. And when I read that quote, there was just something really significant that God was speaking, that not only in the spiritual, but there's something even that a man saw in the natural, that this is fertile soil. We just need water. And I would say the same thing about the spiritual climate or the spiritual terrain of this land, that this is fertile soil. We just need to be water. We need to be the water that God has called us to be. The water theme has continued. A significant picture kind of that God has given us that has come up many times has been this picture that I got one evening, and God had just kept me up, and I was in prayer till late in the night, and I had this picture of a mass of people gathered down at Tempe Beach Park, pressing up to the shores of Tempe Town Lake, and there was people, there was someone on the bridge sharing the gospel. And there was people pressing to the front, and I saw the most desperate people, those that were addicted, those that were afflicted, those that were lonely, those that knew their need were pressing to the front to get this refreshing from God. And I saw these waves beginning to come out of the lake. And I just felt like those waves signified the refreshing of the water of God coming and bringing healing, bringing the very thing that people were needing. And the wave went back as far as you could see, back down into Mill Ave. And so that's been a significant just encouragement from God, that he is wanting to send waves of refreshing to those that are hungry. And he's raising up people that are hungry. I want to read Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 5. I believe this speaks to what God is wanting to do in our midst. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. And here's what I believe that this verse is speaking about. First of all, in the context, it's speaking about God's people, Israel, and how God wants to shine upon them. And I think how we can take it for us as the church is that God, through his servant Jesus, who he has shone upon, wants to as well shine upon us, the church, the bride of Christ. And so this word is for a people that will rise up and say, God, here we are. We simply want to reflect you. And it is time for the church to reflect Jesus, to reflect the God who they serve, not to reflect a social agenda, not to reflect programs or even good service projects, but simply to reflect Jesus, to be a people who have been pursued by this relentless love of God and now reflect that relentless love to those around them. And so they serve. And so they pour out that love just like Jesus did. So they walk in the supernatural. And I see that happening in Jesus' life in two ways. Jesus walked with extreme character. His life was marked by extreme character. And he raised the bar on the standard of character and the way that we are to live. And we see that modeled and taught on throughout the life of Christ. We also see Jesus walking in the miraculous. He saw the sick healed, the dead raised, the lame walk. He saw people delivered from oppression. And so we want to be like Jesus. And we want to be a church that reflects who he is in everything that we do. And I believe that we are entering into a time where we are going to see more and more people that say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus because there is a church, because there are people rising up and allowing themselves to be the reflection of who Jesus really is. Because when people find Jesus, I really believe they're going to want to follow him. Charles Finney said, revival is a renewed conviction of sin and repentance, followed by an intense desire to live in obedience to God. It's giving up one's will to God in deep humility. What I've been speaking on is, I believe, what God wants to do with us as a church. The other part of what God has really been highlighting throughout this series is what he wants to do in us individually. And the things that he's been speaking on are I narrowed it down to two, and that is repentance and calling. And so first of all, every move of God is marked by repentance. That we are a people who repent for the things that we are doing, for the ways that we are living that aren't honoring and glorifying to God. That we realize that we have sin in our lives, that we own up to it, and that repentance actually means to do a 180, so that we are living our lives following one course, one direction, and God touches us, and we turn in the opposite direction, and we begin to follow him. So we lay down the things that we were living for, and we begin to live for God. And there is a true repentance over sin, over those things in our lives that are not of God. And so we're truly sorry for those things. We see how those things have been detrimental to our lives, how they have not brought life to those around us. And we lay it down and say, God, I want to take up what you have for me. And that's where calling comes in. Because it doesn't stop with just like, oh God, I'm so sorry. That's not where we're meant to live. We're meant to become free from those things, the sin and the junk that has entangled us. And we're meant to live for something more. And so God gives us a calling. And that's just a term that is sometimes just the easiest to place on it. It's the purpose that you were created for. God is the creator of each and every one of us. And he didn't create us and then just leave us be and say, okay, however you want to do it, whatever feels good, go for it. And become distant. God is actually very near. And he created you with a specific design and purpose. And when you begin to walk in that purpose, you're going to find your greatest fulfillment and satisfaction. And so that's your calling. And so God places callings on us. And there is a calling of who you are to be, and then a calling maybe more of what you're to do. So first of all, God is going to speak to you, who are you to be? Who was I created to be? Who am I? And that's a question that everyone is asking. Who am I really? Who am I? And I believe God wants to bring out in you who you were created to be, your personality, the ways that you are gifted, the ways that you're able to bless those around you, and where you're able to really become confident in who you are. And that you're able to pursue being a godly man, being a godly woman, and being the person that God has called you to be. And from that place, you will begin to realize what you are called to do. And the things that you're called to do are the places that you really come alive. The places that get you excited, that you're passionate about, and you find yourself in that place saying, this is what I was born to do. This is what I was meant to do. And so that is the calling in God. And we begin to seek God on that and ask him, what does it look like for us to follow you in that type of calling? And so revival is coming alive to God. It is a renewed sense of conviction of sin and repentance, followed by an intense desire to live in obedience to God, just to follow him, because you're so alive because of him. And so I want to open it up, and this is specifically what I want you to think about as many of you in this many of you over the next 20 minutes are going to come share. What has God been doing in you that has made you just come alive? That has stirred in you over the last 3 or 4 months, or could it be over the last week or two? The things that God has been stirring in you that has made you come alive to him like never before. Maybe for the first time you've found God. Or maybe you've known him for a long time, but there's things that he's been doing that have opened your eyes to see him in a new way, that have given you fresh perspective, that have caused you to want to follow him with all your heart. Where you've stopped going through the motions and it's become this place of being compelled from deep within to follow him. And so we're just going to open it up because, and I want to challenge you, if there's something stirring in you, and that probably means if you're nervous or you have this pit in your stomach, you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't like getting up in front of people. I want to encourage you that if you're sensing from God that you need to share, that you need to testify, that's really what a testimony is. It is testifying to the glory of God. And so there's no better way to end a series called A People for His Glory than for his people to testify of his glory in their lives, because that's really what this series has been about. And so if you're feeling that, there's a reason for that. Obviously, we don't have time for everyone to share. And so I would just ask you to consider and pray, God, am I to share about what you've been speaking in me? And if you are, that's because God wants to encourage others through what he's doing in you. Because if he's doing it in you, it's possible for each and every one of us. And so it always is fun to get the first person up here, but I'm going to step back. And as you feel led, you come on up, and we're just going to give testimony to the glory of God.
Hi, everyone. My name's Mandy. I've been coming here for about 8 or 9 months, I think. But I just wanted to share kind of what the Lord has been speaking to me, and hopefully it will encourage you. I've been a Christian for about 10 years, but I grew up in the church, and I always felt like an orphan. I know if some of you can relate to that, just inauthentic, fake. Every Sunday I went to church and just kind of put on a mask. And earlier this summer, Emily spoke a word over my life in prayer, and she said that God was entering me into this season where he was going to uproot all of these rocks and weeds in my heart. And actually recently my parents came to me and started talking to me about some of the pain and the issues in their life, and I came to know Jesus through dreams, and the time that they were having the hardest time in their life was exactly when I came to know the Lord. God was there for me when no one else was, and so just recently after that happened, after we talked it through, and I just felt this season of healing coming upon my life, the Lord gave me this picture in prayer where I walked out into the sun, and as the rays of sun hit my skin, I got these black spots all over my body. And it was just my sin. It was coming to the surface. I had to join the human race. You know, as a pastor's kid, I finally had to come to grips with the fact that I was sinful. And then I saw Jesus standing before me, and the only thing I could hear was, "He stands alone. He is holy." God wanted to reveal his holiness to me. And then as soon as that happened, it started to rain, and it was just this red rain pouring over me, and it was washing away my sin. And I knew it. I knew this, but it just made sense to me in a very real way. And then just being in discipleship has really encouraged this healing process. This healing balm from the Holy Spirit has come upon us, and people are starting to deal with their issues in their life and receive healing and in community, and that's really important. Don't do it alone. Just the one final word that I received was just this picture of Jesus sitting up on the hill above Jerusalem and just longing to hold her close to him, and yet she refused him, and just how that broke his heart, and how anytime that you feel rejection, the Lord relates to you, and he knows what it feels like for his people to be unfaithful to him and to reject him to his face. And so that's basically it, just that God is bringing not only revival, but revival to our hearts, and he cares deeply about your heart. I always wanted to perform for him, and he's telling me to slow down and just saying, "Mandy, like, just let this balm come over you and heal your heart. I care about your heart first and your impact second." So that's all. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Jimmy, and I feel like lately, actually at this time in my life, I am in the midst of a big, large revival in my life, so I thought I'd come up and share that with you guys. I grew up a Christian, and then I also, you know, lived my life the way I wanted to for a long time, and had a big, to the point where I might not have said I was even a Christian at all, but, I did make a big change in my life at one point, and this was just a couple years ago, and, it came with great cost. I lost a lot of really good friends, and I lost a lot of, I had to make a new life for myself by turning around 180 degrees, and, you know, I've been carrying on with that, but the past year for me has felt really empty and kind of lonely, and like I've been trying to find a new home, and I just moved down to Tempe about 6 months ago, and I really was looking for a church for a long time, and it's just been, ever since I came here, I actually have really felt the presence of God and felt changed, so I just thought I'd share that, and yeah, thanks.
Hi, my name's Olivia, and talk about the good Christian girl goes to college cliche. That was me. All my life, I lived a very, like, cookie-cutter Christian girl, always in private schools, had, like, the family that everybody always, like, wanted, and my whole life, I've rejected it. I didn't want it. I thought it was boring. I didn't want to be a part of that. That wasn't me. I don't know how I got stuck with these people. And then I finally, so I had to, like, I ran as fast as I could away to the biggest public university I could find. And it took a long time for me to realize that I had been rejecting my, like, life at home or whatever. And I got plugged into churches on campus because, like, my mom wanted me to. And I was always calling myself a Christian the whole time. For the past 2.5 years, I was always calling myself a Christian. But I wasn't really living it. I was saying I was a Christian, but I wasn't doing anything even remotely, like, to bring myself or to be that the definition of what a Christian was. And then my friend last Easter invited me to Antioch, and I didn't even know she went to church, so I was like, okay, well, it must be cool if you go. So I went with her, And immediately I walked in the door and my roommate came with me and I turned to my roommate and I was just like, does this feel like home to you? This feels like home to me. And so I continued going through the summer and I've really started going this past semester, like really, like religiously, I guess. I went to camp just a couple weekends ago. And finally, for the first time, I felt like God was telling me that I was worthy of the life that he had given me. And, And I'd never really felt that way. I always called myself like the black sheep of my family. But God was telling me that I was worthy. And since camp, God has come in and shown me just this huge revival in my life. I've really started to live and speak out what I believe without fear anymore. And so it's been amazing having that confidence in the Lord that I never had before, even growing up in churches forever.
My name's Aubrey. I grew up as a pastor's kid and have been in Missouri the last 2.5 years. And I visited Antioch last December, almost a year ago, and really just felt like God had something for me, and I wasn't really sure why. So I went back to Missouri and kind of prayed about it and moved here 3 months ago, a little unsure why and a little unsure what God wanted to do, but started coming back to Antioch, and I think my whole life I've just felt safe as a pastor's kid, just easy life, not too much going on, and God started to show me that there were things in my life that he needed to deal with, and I think coming to grips with that was really hard, but I realized I didn't have to be perfect for the first time. I didn't have to live in a bubble where I felt like people looked at me and wondered, and so I started going to Joy just to talk to her about stuff, and I really just feel like I'm in this place where God is saying to me that he has grace for me, and he loves me in a different way than I could ever imagine for myself, and I know why I'm here, and this is my family right now, and I am in love with Antioch and in love with the people that I've met, and I just think that God is showing me what real grace is in my life and that I don't have to be perfect, and that's okay. And so I am just so thankful, still on a long journey, I feel like, but I feel like God brought me here for a reason, and I'm really starting to understand his love and his grace and what that looks like. So,
my name's Josue. I've been coming to Antioch since week 2 in the Phillips living room. I guess I can go back to, 4 years ago. God just encountered me. I experienced this love for the first time in my life. Just took a complete transformation. Turned my life upside down. And I was like, God, put me wherever you want me. I'll do anything for you. So over the past year, it's becoming just saying yes to the Lord. Yes, yes, I'll do it. I'll go. I'll go to Indonesia. Yes, I'll go here. I'll move to Arizona. And then this past year has definitely probably from like the spring to about the summer, the May, month of May, was probably the hardest time in my walk. And I felt like I lost my wings, you know. I felt like for the past years, I felt I was just flying, you know, going down this stream, down this river with the Lord, where he was leading me to. And then this past spring, just went through just a crisis, like a hard time, really hard time in my life, a lot of confusion, and I felt like I was in a pond, just stuck, and guys like Travis and just Adam and Andy and all the pastor staff just kind of came around me, and I got through it. It was a hard time. I got through it, and I remember one night I just encountered the love of God just in a new way, and I feel like I had my wings back. And it was crazy because just where I was headed, you know, I felt God was saying, you're going to training school here with the church. And I felt, honestly, like in your walk where God's taken you, you know, the purpose you have, the devil is going to try to do whatever he can to distract you, whatever you can to put you in a pond. And I experienced that pond, and but I got through it, and I felt the Lord say, now it's time to drop everything, put everything aside, flap your wings, let's fly. Let's fly together, and let me show you where I'm taking you. So, yeah.
All right, so my name is Moosh. I'm going to start off saying God has a silly sense of humor. On Monday, I went and got some breakfast with a friend Miles and Bradley. And I'm getting ready to do discipleship with my friend Bradley. And he was like, hey, you got to do a testimony. And I was like, oh, God, I can't do this in front of people again. And so they were all laughing. We're like, there's no way I'm going to do that. And then this happens. And I was like, oh, God, okay. So I felt like I was like, all right, I'll come talk. I don't know. There's been a lot going on. God's been moving a lot lately in my life as far as putting me on the right path. Not saying I was super, super bad or anything, but there were some areas where it was just really gray. It's like, should I be doing this? Yeah, and then finally there was just a lot of family stuff that hit me one time. And I was like, Adam, hey, I need to talk to you. I need to get just right. I need to just get some stuff off my chest. And we started talking, started coming to church a lot more. Being in this presence has just been awesome. Talking with a lot of friends from here, just one-on-one about some stuff that they've been going through that I could relate to. And then we had a college retreat that I went to. Went to that, and that was ridiculous. That was awesome. There was just really good company, and you could tell that God's moving, and it was nice seeing that he's moving in people that have been through the same stuff I've been through, and the same stuff that hopefully they'll hear that I've gone through. And I don't like talking in front of people, but if you want to talk to me one-on-one, by all means, I'll share. I just want to be able to help other people, because listening to them talking and being like, yeah, they went through that. I'm going through that. And I see where they're at now, and I'm just like, wow, like, I can be at that point in my life and not second guess what I should do. And since that retreat, like, there's a stirring and just fire and hunger in my heart where I just can't read enough, and I can't just be in enough presence of God, and it's been really cool. So if anyone who's just like, oh, I don't know if I should do this, start coming to church more. Seriously, it will help you out a lot. So that's all I got to say about that.
Hey, hi, my name is Anima. We've heard a lot of stories of people, like, I grew up Christian, I'm a pastor's kid, and I'm the complete opposite. I grew up in a Muslim family, wasn't born here. My family was very strict Muslim, they still are, and I converted to Christianity when I was around my sophomore year of high school, so about 8 years ago, and it's been like a journey, and my family didn't accept it at first, they just thought I was going through this phase, because teenagers go through all these phases, and so it finally hit them, because I got married last year, exactly a year ago. Pretty much, and it finally hit them when I married a Christian that, oh, this is real, and they disowned me, so I don't have any real contact with my family. They've moved away. They're actually moving to China next month, so they're moving clear across the country, and my biggest challenge was being like, okay, I'm all alone, and I have no one, like, here, and I live in Tempe, and my husband's in the military, so he's not even here. He's in Afghanistan, and he has been since January, and we've both just kind of been like, all right, we're going through these different things, and how do you deal with it? And, you know, I've never grown up Christian. I don't know how to deal with things like this alone. And so I came to Antioch in March, I think, and I was looking for a church, never had a home church, and, like, the first day, it was just like, this feels right. It's not awkward. I've never met these people before, but it felt completely right. And I brought my husband when he was on leave for 2 weeks in May, and Travis actually baptized us on a whim and in his backyard. So we decided to start our journey off as a couple, and all I know is that I've lost, like, everything that I'd known from my past, like, 21 years of life, and I've kind of started over, starting my own life alone, and God's been the only constant in my life for the past 22 years. It's been he's been the only one that's been like, no, you're not doing anything wrong. You're gonna get through it. You're gonna be alone, but you're gonna find new community and new family. And I have, like, I'm still kind of like getting used to all of it, getting used to having the support because I haven't before, but it's something that I'm learning to accept and love, and I'm so blessed that I came across Antioch completely randomly. So.
Hi, I'm Daniel, and I grew up in a, my family wasn't really Christian. We had Christian values and Christian beliefs, but now I know we weren't really Christians, and I felt like a rat in a maze where I knew God had his path through the maze, but I just kept getting, I was always distracted by these false paths. And over the past couple months, God's really put me with the right people, I met Travis, and I've started coming along the path towards Jesus, following him. And especially over like the last week, it feels like everything's straightened out and God's really taken away all those false paths, and I know where I need to go now, and I feel like God's just taken away all those distractions for me.
Hi, I'm Ethan. I came from Taiwan, and it's my first time to be here. Actually, I was a non-believer since last week. I'm an engineer, because you want me to believe you have to give me the evidence. So I was always looking for the evidence about the God, but it's probably in vain. But since last week, Stephen asked me to his place and have the Thanksgiving dinner. When we were talking about the God, and he introduced the story about the God, and suddenly, in that moment, I heard, seems like there's something in my ear and talk to me that believe it. It's now. Don't be hesitate. I never feel like that. It's a feeling very peaceful and happy, because I think I was always refused to believe that something unsure. But now I choose to believe and open my door to the Jesus, and I feel very peaceful and happy now. And after that, Stephen showed something interesting in his diary book. Maybe he can talk you more about that.
Yeah. So I have a diary. And it was just really cool that morning when I woke up. I felt like the Lord really pressed on my heart. He's like, you need to get in my presence. You need to get in my presence. And press in like really hard this morning. And so this was Thursday morning. I get up and I spent a lot of time with him. And one of the things I just feel like he's speaking is he says, he just showed me a picture of like a hotel door. You know how it's got the little red light and you slide your card in and then it turns green. I just felt like he showed me that green light. And he's like, I'm just opening a door today. I'm opening a door, and he said, I'm going to bring salvation to your parents' house today. And so I was like, ah! You know, so I got really excited and was just really pressing and praying for that, but I didn't know what it was going to look like. And then Ethan joined us, and just throughout, like, just a random part in the day, he's like, hey, can you tell me more about God? And so it was just really cool that God had him in mind. He knew what he was doing, and God did the whole thing. You know, I just got to be a part of it. One more thing that was just really cool about it was, When we finished, Will was hanging out with us too, and Will was like, dude, you know there's a party going on in heaven, so we got a party here. And so we went and got all the dessert and started eating, and I went straight to the pie, and by the time I got back from the pie, Will had already been talking to him about baptism, and he's like, hey, you know, one of the things that people do is they have an outward expression by getting baptized. And that's just, it doesn't mean you're saved, but it just is proclaiming what you believe in your heart. And so he's like, yeah, I want to do it now. And I love this, because my whole family, myself included, were like, dude, it's freezing. Like, we have a pool, but it's like 40 degrees. And he's like, no, God told me I need to do it now. So we actually have a video of the baptism, so you can enjoy. Ethan, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God?
Yes, I do.
And do you confess that he is your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
All right. On that confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father. Plug your nose.
Plug your nose. He's going to dunk you.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ, risen to new life.
Amen.
I know that there are probably a lot of more testimonies out there, and we're just encouraged just over and over by what God is doing. And there's so many things and so many others as I look out here just of the testimonies of the move of God in people's hearts and lives. And so we are so excited about kind of both sides of the spectrum. That there are people that have known God or known about God, have grown up in the church, but are in new ways finding him to be real, to be evident, to be the one that they want to live for with all of who they are. And there are people in our midst weekly saying, I want to follow God for the first time, getting out of this maze and saying, I'm going to follow Jesus on the path that he has. And so begin to share these testimonies. Obviously, we don't have time for all of us to share up here, but share your testimony with those around you. It's powerful to hear, and it's encouraging for those around you. And hopefully, even in Life Group this week, we'll have time to continue to share some of the testimonies that we didn't get to share today. But I'm going to pray for us, and then the band is just going to lead us in a time of response and time of closing. So, Lord Jesus, we're thankful for what you're doing. We want to. We know that this is just the tip of the iceberg as well. That there is so much that you're wanting to pour out on this church and in this valley, God. That you are relentlessly pursuing us, and we want to be a people who relentlessly pursue you, a people that reflect you and reflect your glory to all those around us. Not out of a compulsion, not out of pride or arrogance, not out of striving, but out of a true heart response. Because you've been so good to us that we want to authentically follow you with a passion and with a purpose. And we thank you that you are here with us. Your presence makes all the difference. Your presence here with us, that you are loving us here in this place, that you are speaking to each person here in this place, that makes all the difference because it's about relationship. It's not about religious activity. And so, Lord, we want to follow you. Let these testimonies that have been shared tonight compel us to run after you with wholehearted devotion throughout this week, throughout this month, throughout the coming year, and ultimately throughout the rest of our life, just increasing in a passion for you and for your name. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.